John Wilkins, Evan.
Good afternoon. I'm going to address the Environ Southland relationship with the community firstly. We support the ideal of protecting water quality and see merit in many objectives of the plan. However, we feel that the sweet spot has been missed and application has been poor. We feel that many of the discussions, meetings, documents and hassle over the last 2 years could have been avoided if the plan was pitched appropriately to begin with. It has been of huge economic and time strain, much of which could have been avoided if the initial signals were read. There was community engagement in 2015, however we feel many of our sentiments were ignored and not a lot of adjustment made in relation to our input. Many of the suggestions made by the community back then are merely being repeated time and again now in this particular forum in reference to the arbitrary flat rate of intensive winter grazing areas, 20 hectares or 50 hectares, or stock exclusion or cultivation on hill country. This leaves us concerned that those meetings, discussions and prior submissions in late 2015 were a kangaroo court of jumping through hoops in a box-ticking exercise, just so it could be said that the farmers had their say. And we hope the same does not apply to this hearing process. We are concerned at a lack of cost-benefit analysis of the plan in reference to the Section 32 report. The implications of this is a headlining issue, especially in reference to dairy farming and intensive winter grazing on Old Matara and stock exclusion and cultivation on hill country. The level of cost-benefit analysis falls well short of the Resource Management Act's requirement to use a level of detail that corresponds with the scale and significance of the effects of the plan. This review should be able to identify the cost to the community and quantify supposed improvements in water quality as a result of the plan. Only then at that point can we identify, is the juice worth the squeeze? There is little about this plan that indicates to us that it will meet water quality objectives in Wendenside. On the other hand, we have paid premium price for land in Old Matara comparative to prices paid in some other physiographic zones, or PZs, yet now our land use options are restricted below what can be done in those other PZs. We request that any gross profit reduction or capital erosion because of this plan be compensated for until it's proven this plan meets water quality objectives. We are concerned at the lack of standardised water quality testing in Wendenside for both groundwater and surface water, which is why we have engaged Dr. Sklash for advice, and the Wendenside Catchment Group is engaging a sampling program on their own accord. For example, we have not seen any water quality data for the Matara River all the way from Parawa to near Mandeville, as demonstrated on the overhead. Approximately 60 kilometres of water body, which goes right past the Wendenside area. The Wendenside groundwater zone, which is approximately 8,700 hectares, only has three state of environment bores. As our neighbour, John Smith, mentioned in his hearing, on his 1,200 hectares, up until last year, he had had zero samples taken. The same could be said for us until we purchased the Wendenside school property recently, which had a state of environment bore on it. We've also heard in this forum Alistair Mann, another neighbour of ours, his anecdote about the Wendenside school well in regard to the adjacent dairy consent. With Environment South instructing all the effluent to be concentrated on a small portion, concentrated on a small area, potentially compromising this well. When we were notified this well was reading high nitrates, We inspected the wellhead to find it was well below ground level, this inviting any runoff contamination. In recent years, the nitrate concentration of this well has subsided. It could be due to a change in effluent practice, it could be due to the correction of the wellhead, or it could be a combination of many factors. The point being that by engaging a broader, more standardised sampling regime, this will enlighten us on reality, helping us identify any critical contributing factors and helping us address them. We were concerned that the time between the release of the plan and the deadline of submissions was merely a few months to digest, investigate, and submit on an entire plan change. This may be suitable for a few rule changes, but not an entire plan. These were ambush tactics, meaning there was no way we could critically analyse detail appropriately, and we were bound to miss crucial points through lack of time. We were concerned to observe that immediately after the plan release, there was panic water testing by Environment Southland samplers in Wendonside. This perhaps would have been more appropriate before the plan release. As mentioned, rushing through rules and regulation will result in erroneous decision making. Results from this plan need to be integrated over a sensible time frame to allow the relationship between good management practice and farming and water quality to unfold. Lastly, we are concerned with the statements such as page 249 of the section 42A report, section 7.450. In this section, we feel victims of some window shopping of evidence. This states that the Albatera has a median nitrate reading of 10 milligrams per litre. When speaking in a Wendonside context, especially, we feel this is premature. Dr. Sklash will highlight some areas of concern on the representation of the data. Now, physiographic zones. Physiographic zones, or PZs, we request that they are left beyond the plan. We acknowledge the merit of them as a guideline on what to expect of the landscape in a general sense, but the attempt to apply them in a planning context in this instance has proven problematic. We are not sure why Environment Southland felt the need for Southland to revolutionise a farming water quality model when we are 30 or 40 years behind more developed societies around the world in recognising this issue. Can we not just adopt the best ideas from America or Europe and adapt them in a local context which suits all our subtleties? In the American and Europe societies, it is worth noting that improved environmental outcomes are supported by government and consumers, not just farmers, recognising that sustainable food production is a community-wide issue, not just a farmer problem. If this request of removing physiographic zones from the plan is not met, we request a compromise that the restrictions of intensive winter grazing and new dairy farms in Old Matera can be reduced in alignment with oxidising, riverine and central plains PZs. We need the opportunity to demonstrate that we can implement management strategies that can mitigate adverse effects. This will justify further investment into these initiatives. For us on Old Matera, the current plan does not allow this opportunity and does not incentivise progressive solutions or incentivise embracing technology. Up until now, we have not been given a sound explanation on how Wendonside groundwater has a greater risk to wider society as far as nitrate concentrations go, when compared with oxidising, riverine or central plains. Our understanding of the relationship between Wendonside aquifers and our major surface water bodies, the Matara and Waikai rivers, has proven to be limited. The only justification we can see that the old Matara, or in particular the Wendon side zone, is that it's less densely populated. So Environment Southland's interpretation is that they will upset less people by regulating that area more strictly than higher populated ones. The prospect that Environment Southland are proposing to dictate land uses instead of promoting more appropriate ways to manage is not democratic and a communist approach. This is especially unfair when we in the old Matara zone are competing in the same market against other PZs, and on a national scale when we in Southland are competing in the same market against those in the Otago region who are operating under a totally different effects-based model. Environment Southland appears to have taken the regulatory path with excessive administrative and policing demands. Alternatively, the Otago Regional Council have a, if it's not broken, don't fix it approach, and to only apply restrictions where necessary. To us, this is more appropriate, opposed to a poorly received broad brush approach. Now introduce my older brother.